Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is the name of the book that was written by Rabbi Isaac Campanton in the 15th century and is still used for the study of the Torah today? This is part one of a series of three programs about Jewish presence and history in Zamora, a city and province in the northwest of Spain near the Portuguese border. Dr. Jesus Hambrina is an associate professor of Spanish and history at Viterbo University in Wisconsin, United States. Dr. Hambrina has done extensive research into the Jewish history of Zamora. He was responsible for the establishment of the Centro Isaac Campanton there, and also for the organization of six annual international conferences about Jewish history and presence in that region. In parts two and three of this series, he'll tell us about these projects. This week, as an introduction to Jewish Zamora, we're speaking with him about his book, Los Judíos de Zamora, Una Cronología Anotada, The Jews of Zamora, An Annotated Chronology, which is a comprehensive listing of Jewish-related events that took place there between the 1st and 19th centuries, and includes detailed sources and bibliography, and also a biography of Isaac ben Jacob Campanton, rabbi of Zamora in the 14th to 15th centuries, and considered by his own contemporaries Gaon of Castile. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Jesus. First, could you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and your connection to Zamora and your interest in the Jews in Zamora? Mm-hmm.
My connection to Zamora is my parents, my family. My family is originally from here. They immigrated to Cuba in the year 1911. My grandfather, my grandmother immigrated to Cuba in 1920. So I had that connection with the city since I was growing up. So the mentions to Zamora all the time, and specifically to the town of Gema del Vino, which is only 10 minutes from here. So that's my first connection, is a family connection with the place. But I only could visit the city in 2010. And then I realized that there were many history, Jewish history here that wasn't mentioned anywhere, nor in the museums, nor in many books. There was no common knowledge in the city about that. And I tried to just do a little bit of research about that particular topic.
Is your family Jewish?
No. Not that I know.
Where does your interest come from?
My interest comes from, I am a professor of Spanish literature and Spanish language and Latin American history. And that was always an interest of mine. There were some mentions in my family about, you know, yes, we all know that in Spain there were many Jews back then in the centuries back and all of that. But I didn't have any conscious knowledge about this background in my family. But it was always there, these mentions, these references. So I was always curious about, okay, let's do a little bit more of research about this to see what happens.
Okay, so you wrote this book, The Jews of Zamora, An Annotated Chronology. It's quite a book. It's a small book, but I was very impressed with it, I have
to
admit. I'll tell you why in a minute. How did you go about doing the research?
Well, I came in 2010. And then when I remember that I was flying back to the States, where I live and work, I had a book with me, a photocopy of a book, El Pasado Judío de Zamora by María Fuencisla Casar.
Which is the Jewish past in Zamora.
Yes, that's the title of the book in English, yeah. So I had that book, a photocopy of that book with me that a relative of mine gave me. And I was reading, I said, okay, there are many, many things here that are very interesting. And I was planning to write an article about the silence of all this history in the institutional structure of the city, because I was going to the local museum, there was nothing there. I was going to the regional museum, there was nothing there. And I was very curious about that. Well, what if this city has all this history, what is this nothing in the museums? And there is nothing in the several signposts in the cities. So my theoretical background is cultural theory. And I was very interested about this emptiness of the meaning about the Jews in the city. Why this emptiness? Why there is nothing here that can be part of the history? And especially knowing that there was a Jewish history here.
Do you think, I'm just going to kind of stick something in right here. Zamora is very famous for Romanesque churches and art and its Holy Week celebrations. Do you think that any of this is a kind of a cover-up?
it's pretty common that those cities and even places and families that are super Catholic, you just scratch there and you will find that many were conversos or there was a very Jewish history in that place. That happens in Sevilla, for example. Mm-hmm. That happens in Toledo. That happens in Zamora as well. So there are evidences that, for example, there were many conversions here, many conversions to Catholicism in the 14th century when Vicente Ferrer came to the city. There are many information about that. But this is pretty typical in Spain. For example, in the case of Seville had the first Inquisition trial in the Iberian Peninsula in 1481. There was a Zamora involved in that trial for being Judaizante.
For Judaizing.
And many other places is the same. Okay, so I think that in Zamora happens a little bit as well.
Okay, so before we got off the subject, you were going to tell us about how you went about doing the research mm-hmm. and how long it took and if you had any special problems with it.
No, I started in 2010 with this idea of writing an article because I was, as I mentioned before, I was more interested. I mean, coming from the state where, you know, Jewishness is pretty open, you know, it's not something that people hide. I have friends who are Jewish and nobody hides anything about their cultural or religious background. However, I was struck by it here in Spain, if anybody even say that you have Jewish background, people just look at you like you're crazy. Yeah, this is impossible. And I was curious about from the cultural perspective about this. What is about this phenomenon that is so touchy in Spain? And especially having so heavy Jewish history, because as you know, Spain and Portugal have a very heavy Jewish history. And then started to do research in the libraries in the States, in Portugal, online, in Israel. And I just realized, well, this is more than just a paper that I should write. I should be more, I should dig a little bit more into this. And then I started to connect with people that were very interested in these issues also in Spain in general. Not so much in Zamora, because Zamora has that idea in Spain about the Semana Santa, the Holy Week, or the Romanesque art. So nobody really was digging in that area. Even when all important historians in Zamora from the 19th century, even before, have mentioned the Jewish presence in the city. It's been in all the history books of this place. There is at least one section, one chapter that is mentioning the Jewish part of the city. However, in modern times, that was not common. Last time that somebody really wrote something was this book that I was mentioning that was published in 1992. I mean, 25 years ago or so. So since then, there was nothing here written about Jewish history or culture. And that was also something that I really was curious about, why nobody is writing about these mm-hmm. anymore. So I just started step by step reading papers, reading books, exploring a little bit more about the context and looking for more data and information about all this history in the city. Suddenly, I had a book in my hands. Without even looking for it, I just had a book in my hands, and I said, well, this needs to be published, because I think that this will be a service to people that are really looking for information in this area.
Because first you have the chronology, you go year by year and different documents that you found. Mm-hmm. What sort of documents did you find? What did they contain?
Well, these are documents that I didn't find myself. Okay, I just want to clarify this. There are some dates, for example, or some entries that they were in the history books, but nobody paid attention to them. And for example, all the information about Isaac Campanton, all the information about Abraham Saba, or Isaac Arama, or Samuel Valenci, all of that information is in history books. And nobody was paying attention to those names and to their work in the city. And the only thing that I did was just to take that information and just summarize it and put it in the book with the cross-referencing everything. I cross-reference every single entry in the book is cross-referenced with different bibliographies here in Spain, in Portugal, in Israel, in Mexico, in the United States, and other places. What I found, what is really interesting that I think that that is something that I have to say, is that I cross-referenced many information from different places that led to the same place, which is Zamora. And that is the connection that I just did. I connected the dots. And find out that Zamora, yes, was a point of departure for many of these sages in the 13th and 14th centuries.
Well, I think that one of the most impressive and I guess valuable parts of the book is the bibliography. I mean, it's an amazing bibliography. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important because mm-hmm. obviously you may have put in a little bit of data, but anybody who's interested in more information can go to the bibliography.
Exactly.
And it's really impressive. Did you discover anything specifically special or something unusual that you would like to share?
Yes. Isaac Campanton and the rabbinical school that he founded here in the city.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that because in the book you have a biography of his. Tell us who he was and when he lived.
Well, there is no particular reference of where he was born, but all the information, all the mentions lead to Zamora, because all the information that is related to him is related to Zamora. So the last name Campanton is a very common name. I just found out that is dated in the 10th century in the Kingdom of León, and Zamora is part of the kingdom, of the old Kingdom of León. So it's pretty sure to say that he was, and his family, his father, who is Jacob Campanton, was also from this area. And recently there was a document discovered in the Organiza of El Cairo referring to Jacob Campanton. So, and referring specifically to this area. Mm-hmm. So what I found about Isaac Campanton is that he was the teacher of several generations of sages that mention him as their teacher. And even when he wrote, apparently, because probably he wrote more, but there is nobody has found any other book, he wrote one book that is titled The Ways of the Talmud. And all his disciples mentioned this particular book, how this book influenced them in their knowledge about the Torah, the Kabbalah, Talmud, etc., etc., etc. So this is what I found, that Zamora really has the last school, the last Jewish studies school important in the Iberian Peninsula.
This book, The Ways of the Talmud, did that spread across boundaries?
Yes.
I mean, or is that something that was limited to his school in Zamora?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because it looks like his teaching was applied in different areas after 1492, for example, in Salonika, in Safed, in Israel, in Portugal with the Aboad family, in Morocco with the Balenci family, and with the Saba family as well. All these are rabbinical families, very important. And all of them are at the Habib family. For example, the Habib were from here, from Zamora, father and son, and they went to Salamanca first. Jacob Habib was the rabbi in Salamanca in 1492, and then he left for Portugal and then for Salonika. But he was the first collecting that famous book in the Sephardic tradition that is in Yaakov. He was the first one really compiling all the information and summarizing all the information for in Yaakov. So really, what is important, and this is something that is not only that I'm saying that, is something that I have found in the history book, and many other people have expressed their opinion about the importance of Zamora in the in Jewish tradition and studies in the 14th century. And I think that is what is nobody else have been done before. I mean, just shedding some light on this historical figure that was connected to Zamora and also impacted other areas of the Sephardic diaspora from the 14th century to the 17th century. Even today, in our website, the people that are most visiting our website, zamorasephardi.com, is from Lithuania. And when I was to Israel, a person gave me a copy of Ocampantón's book, and that person was from that area. And he explained to me that really Campanton's book is really useful for many students of Torah, Talmud, and Kabbalah.
You say that he was one of the participants in the reorganization of the Jewish communities in the mid-14th century.
Yes.
How did he reorganize these communities and why, and which communities were affected?
Well, you know that after 1391, it's pretty established in in history that the communities of Seville, for example, Barcelona, Toledo, didn't exist anymore. Jews at that time, many were killed, as you know, and many fled to areas that they feel safer. And many of those areas were precisely small towns and small cities in what is called Castile and León. And that is pretty proof at this point. For example, just in the province of Zamora, there were 21 Jewish quarters and aljamas. Carlos Carrete Parrondo, who was one of the most important historians in this topic, established that by documentation. And he said, even here in Zamora in the 1980s, in the History Congress here, he published an article naming and dating all these 21 Jewish quarters in just in the province of Zamora. Julio Baldión, who is another very important historian regarding this topic, said that just in the Cuenca of Duero, around the Duero River, there were more than 300 Jewish quarters in 1492. And all this information, I mean, these are very solid historians that I particularly like because they work with documents. And I really trust what they say because they really work, they work with the documentation. And especially Carrete Parrondo was very good on interpreting documents and establishing data and geographies and spaces for the Jewish quarter. So I really trust what they wrote about that. So that is very established now that in the 14th century, the Jewish communities were living in what is Castile and León in this area. And in 1432, in Valladolid, were established the Tacanós of Valladolid, the Ordenanzas of Valladolid, as you probably know. And those Tacanós established that the first things that the communities had to do is to teach. The Tacanós established that all towns with more than 15 Jewish families, they had to pay a teacher. And there were many other aspects of the social life of Jews in this region that were established in the Tacanós. But 1432, it's very important that there the Campantón and Abraham Benveniste, who was the one calling for this particular council, established education as the first point for Jewish communities in Castile and León.
Something else that you mention is you say that he applied Aristotle's theory of language to the interpretation of sacred texts, for which he's considered to be the father of the speculative method in Jewish culture and tradition. Could you explain that?
Well, I didn't say that. It was Boyarin, who is a scholar, and he was the one that mentioned that that particular perspective. That particular quotation was included because it was published by this scholar recently. That's part of the entry on Campanton. And what is interesting about this is that it is a recent mention to Campanton, meaning that what Campanton did in the 14th century is meaningful even today, the way in which any text can be interpreted. Last year, Isaac Keren, who is an scholar in Israel, he came and presented about the way of interpretation that Campanton established that is used by some communities even in Israel today. So the importance of what Campanton did, the way of reading particular text, applying context to looking for contents. Basically what this quotation means is that anybody reading a text, especially sacred text, not only have to pay attention to the literal meaning of the text, but also the history, the context, and the culture in which that text is particularly produced. So understanding the context enable the reader to really go deeper into the meaning of that particular text. And that was really a contribution of Campanton to Jewish studies, but also to general culture, because this is one aspect of the readings that we apply today in cultural studies, in general, and cultural theory.
And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's pretty obvious to us, I guess, but then I imagine that at that time, people tended to focus on the words rather than on the context. That's very interesting.
It's interesting because at that time in which the Jewish communities were going through very difficult times, many sages were paying attention more to the literal meaning of the text. And here you have Campanton saying, hey, you have to pay attention not only to the text, to the bigger picture of the text. And I think that this, I mean, that's my personal opinion, but I think that at that time, that perspective was really revolutionary for the time, to paying attention to the context, not only to the literal meaning.
Is there anything else you would like to add? What are you working on now?
Well, now I just continue doing research about this topic, and I already have a lot of new information for a second edition of the book, with more data, more dates, more quotations from scholars about many of the topics that are mentioned, and I'm planning to publish this second edition in around 2020. That's my hope.
Thank you. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.